Hello. God is so amazing. God is so good. Wow. You know, we can never give enough. And I really hope, I know it can be so much information to take in, but I hope that you just, if you take anything away from this, from talking about Haiti tonight, and from fasting our snack this evening, and from taking whatever it was that you could out of your pocket and putting it in there, if the only thing you take away from this tonight is that you can do something. You can be a part of the thing that God's trying to do in this world. And that's a lot of that is really what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'm going to be I don't want to say fast because I'm not going to try to rush through this, but it's not long. It's not much. I'm just honored to have this opportunity to share tonight. I've been coming praying praises for years and just have been discipled through them and met the Lord and just worshiped and not just through music but through giving and through sacrifice and all these things. And what an awesome blessing this is. And I've said it before, but I came from outside of Metro Division, coming in here, you guys are blessed to have this, to be so close and so unified. There are divisions that do not have that. And this is, I don't know, I just hope you appreciate what you have here. I really want to talk just really kind of frankly tonight. I don't have any catchy stories, like get your attention, you know, set up my point or anything. I really just have the Word of God, which the Spirit has been writing on my heart. And I have a desire to bless you all through the truth found in the Scripture. So I want to speak specifically tonight about purpose, and it's wrapped up in this what we've been talking about tonight with Haiti, because I want to talk about the choice we have of between a life of self or a life of worth, you know. I want us to take a real honest look at ourselves. And if we have to dig up something ugly, you know, we're going to give it to the Lord who's able to heal, able to restore. And, you know, as it says in the Psalms, who turns mourning into dancing. Amen? Okay. So just pray with me, please. Holy Spirit, I don't want to just stand here and talk. The last thing, I already did that tonight, and I wasn't even listening, it was bad. And the last thing any of us need is just to hear me talk, God. But what I want is to be used by you. I want to be an instrument, God. Holy Spirit, I want the revelation, the truth that you've been opening up in my life. Help me to articulate that. Because I know it's something that someone here needs to hear, God. Open our hearts, our minds to receive your word, to receive Holy Spirit, the message you have for us tonight. Amen. Amen. Okay. In this room, and actually I'm I don't want to say I'm pleased. I'm not, but you know, I'm not surprised that we already tonight have heard about depression. It's already come up in our testimony time. And praise the Lord for what he's been doing. You know, we have testimonies here. I'm gonna add to that of God taking people out of darkness. Praise the Lord. But in this room, there are young people suffering from depression. In this room, there are those who have or are currently fantasizing about suicide. And in this room, there are people who purposefully harm themselves. And I know that this is true because it's true of young people everywhere. It's really, it's an epidemic that's afflicting our generation. And to be honest with you, if that really isn't true, if there's no one here in this room that that's true of, then that means those of us gathered here are not doing our jobs. Because we're not doing our jobs if we're not shepherding the broken into the kingdom. So let me just back up for 1 second and explain myself. I'm not trying to be shocking. I'm not trying to play with emotions or anything. This is really just coming from a place, personal revelation and struggle. And so I want to give you a little background. If you could pull up the quote there. It says, youth was not made for pleasure, but for heroism. And we sing, time to be a hero, wow. Yeah, okay. That's to support my point here I'm going to make. Youth was not made for pleasure, but for heroism. I heard this quote recently, and I looked up online. I'm not really sure who said it. It was attributed to different people. It's old, is all I know. But when I heard this recently, it struck a chord within my spirit, just like so deeply, you know? And I don't know, I heard that and it just resonated with me in a way that's a little difficult to explain. But I think the best way to say it is kind of like this. Like, it's almost like it echoed, like, from my past all the way into my present, you know? It took me back to this place, this time in my life, where I was just drowning in darkness. And then it led me all the way along that road into the light. Like, you know, all over again. And basically, it started, I don't know, maybe sometime in like 8th grade. But I know by freshman year, like, I was in a really bad place. Like, a really bad place. I was surrounded by people, but I felt so alone. And I knew I had a family that loved me, but I just felt so numb. I started cutting myself just to feel something, you know? And it was a cry for help because I was suicidal. You know, I actually fantasized about killing myself. But on the outside, I was great, you know? Like, I had close personal friends who had no idea. And, like, some people in this room knew me at this time in my life. And, you know, I hid it. And it was embarrassing. It was confusing. And I'd be out with friends, having fun, having a good time, playing shows in my really horrible band that I was in, and just having a great time, you know? Like, pleasure. I was having fun. But when I was alone, I was a different person, you know? And I don't talk about that part of my life much, or at least that part of me in that part of my life. And it's not because I'm embarrassed anymore, you know, or like, I don't want people to know or something. I mean, I wouldn't have said that if that was true. But it's just that is so far from me today that it just doesn't even enter my mind. Like, it's so far from who I am. To make a long story short, someone at school noticed my scars, and to this day, I don't know who, but I'm glad that they told someone, because that, you know, that day I was called into the counselor's office, and they called my parents, and I started on the road to healing that day, and a huge part of that, personally, was my mom, and not just because she was my mom, but because she was a godly woman who could really articulate the unconditional love of God to me in a way that was intimate and personal, you know, that I understood, like, so clearly. And I was mentored, and I was discipled, and I really abandoned my life to God. God put other people in my life who just loved me unconditionally without knowing anything about, you know, all that. They just loved me. And I've never, you know, I love to hear Linda stand up and say, free, you know, her mom was free from that. I've never struggled with depression again. I'm not saying I don't, you know, rainy day or whatever, but I've never struggled with depression again. I've never thought about killing myself, never hurt myself, you know. I mean, since coming out of that, intentionally hurt myself, but not on purpose. Just through stupidity, I guess, mostly. I was going to make a joke, but never mind. Basically, I say that because that's what came, like, rushing back at me when I heard this quote. I was just like, wow, like, yeah. Youth was not made for pleasure, but for heroism. It really aptly summed up my life as a young person. And, like, still, I mean, I'm still a young person. And, you know, basically what I wanted to talk about today is we have a choice as young people, a choice that sets in motion a great deal of what determines where we go in life, who we become, you know? we can lead a life of self, or we can lead a life of worth. If you want to go to the scripture, the first one that's there, we heard this earlier. I'm just going to read it really fast. Now listen, it's the Lord speaking to his people. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day, love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. And if you do this, you will live and you will multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're about to enter and occupy, the places you're going in life. But if you turn your hearts away, if you refuse to listen, if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, you know, if you chase after the things this world has to offer that are empty, then I warn you, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Now notice it doesn't say, I will certainly destroy you. You will certainly be destroyed. Today I've given you a choice between life and death, blessings and curses. We sang this, you know, but then listen to this. Listen to this in his voice. Oh, that you would choose life. And then at the end there, this is the key to your life, loving the Lord, serving him, obeying him. You see, this is scriptural. The Lord himself has put this choice before us. We were created in freedom. We were not created to, you know, to live a life of pleasure and emptiness and shallowness, but we were created for heroism, to be like God, created in his image. We were created for freedom. Free to receive his love, to experience it. Have you experienced his love tonight? Free to share it, to return it. Or free to choose to live for ourselves. Free to choose to live a life that's all about me. We can choose to live for pleasure, but we weren't created for that. And I saw in my life how living for myself, how living for fun or adventure or whatever, it took me nowhere except for darkness. And, you know, one choice leads to life, one choice leads to death. That sounds dramatic, but it's not. I mean, it's just truth. The next verse there, if you could pull that up, please. Romans 6:19-22. Because of the weakness, Paul says, because of the weakness of your human nature, let me put it in terms you can understand. I'm using the illustration of slavery because this is over your head, right? This isn't me talking, just so you understand. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, that life of self, which led you ever deeper into sin. You catch that? Now you must give yourselves to be slaves of righteous living so that you become holy. You have a choice. Now this I love. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and become slaves to God. Now you do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So, do you see there it says, what was the result? You lived for pleasure. You lived for yourself. What was the result? I look at my life. What was the result of chasing the things I wanted, the empty things the world offered, you know, the affirmation of other people, or, you know, the musical scene, or all these things that I coveted and I wanted? What was the result? I already told you. It was leading me on the road to death. You see, there's this linear progression we so often miss. We blame so many things on the wrath of God, but we forget that we have a choice. Choosing anything but God leads to doom. For the wages of sin is death. Earlier in Romans chapter 4, it says, it says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. You're paid your wages for your work. It's not a punishment, it's justice. The fact that sin leads to death is not punishment. It's the natural order. If you live outside of what you were created for, if you live outside of God's plan, you have doomed yourself. This next scripture, please. Galatians 6. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy the sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You reap what you sow. You know, what you put out is what you get back. If you seek after the empty things in this world, if that's what you dedicate your life to, you're going to get back emptiness. This world is full of darkness. And if that's what you chase after, you're going to end up in darkness. Everything that you're looking for is found in God. The love, the acceptance, the affirmation, the providence. We heard about these people who, you know, how could you think, wow, not that they're better off after the earthquake, but now they have food. You know, some people, that might be more than they ever had through this horrible deal the hand of God has provided. That's it. I hope you followed me here, okay? To sum up, you have a choice. Life or death. Actually, if Drew could come up and grab the guitar, we're going to have a time to consider this, but just to sum up, you have a choice. Life or death. You know? You were created in freedom. You were created, you know, to enjoy that life. But you're not a robot, and God didn't make things that way. I'm just going to close with this. It's a plea. A plea that you would choose life, that you would see the emptiness and run from it, you know? That you would choose to embrace the plan that God has for you in this world. That you would choose to accept the unconditional love of your Creator and allow Him to guide your life. That you would choose to partner with the Lord in His work to feed the poor, to satisfy the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to shelter the stranger, to visit the sick and the imprisoned. Choose to live for His kingdom. That's heroism. That's a life of heroism, is a life dedicated to partnering with God's plan in this world. A life of, you know, not just going overseas and throwing yourself into a third world country and just being available and doing, you know, that's part of it. But it's also, Eric, loving that guy. I want to bless both of you. You know, just, that's awesome that you can bless him and thank him for that. Praise the Lord. That's heroism. These little guys here in the front who, if you could see it, you know, they're piggy banks. And God pleads with you, oh, that you would choose life. You are not created to live only for fleeting pleasures. If you turn from God to the empty things this world offers, you doom yourself. But if you turn to God, you find everything you need. This last, if you could just go back once to that scripture in Galatians. You can keep playing. I don't want this to just be, all right, let's sing and go. We're going to sing and go. But before that, I want to just give you, I'm not going to talk. The scripture says it here. There's two forces at war within you, your sinful nature and the Spirit of God. Who's going to win? Because if the sinful nature wins, this is what you get. You might pick and choose, oh, well, sexual morality, that can be all right. yeah, I could live with that. But no, you get all this baggage, anger, quarreling, division, the things that ruin people's lives and marriages and relationships. Is that what you want your life to be defined by? You know? But if you follow the Lord, if you let the Spirit guide your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you compare these two lists, the one on top, it's just like a poorly reflected mirror of the one on bottom. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. That's just a perversion of the love that God has to give you. So we're going to take some time here. This place is open, you know, if you want to come here, if you want to bow your head where you're at. But look at this. Talk to God about it and choose life.